Hello and welcome to SourceCast episode number 29. I'm your host, Joey Lombardi. This week, we are talking about Oracle again. Last week, they were defeated in their $8.8 billion lawsuit against Google. And this week, they're getting sued not once, but twice. We're going to talk about those lawsuits. IBM bought another company and Salesforce bought a company, but something is different. Investment blogs are starting to cause somewhat of a backlash against these mega purchases, and we're going to talk about it. And then there's Microsoft. They're working with Facebook to bring better internet connection speeds to our friends in Europe. We'll talk about that. Let's start the show. So yeah, Oracle's getting sued.
Ancient spirits of evil, transform this decayed form to Mumra!
And I'm probably going to use that sound clip every time I mention Oracle moving forward. I'm going to stop and explain. If you're a new listener, you're probably wondering what's going on with me and Oracle. Nothing really. I just think that Oracle is sort of the oddest duck of most of the IT companies. They have a weird relationship with the press. They have a weird relationship with their peers in Silicon Valley. I just think that they operate a little bit meaner than the other companies, or they're at least a little bit more vocal about their meanness. So I make fun of them about it. Gotta have a little bit of fun on this, let's be honest, pretty dry podcast. So anyway, Oracle's getting sued. Let's talk about the least interesting lawsuit first. Hewlett-Packard Enterprise is suing Oracle for $3 billion. The basis of the lawsuit is that several PC manufacturers several years ago, supported a chipset called Itanium. It didn't sell well. Most of them cut bait. HP didn't for some reason. And they also somehow managed to obligate Oracle to continue to support this Itanium chipset until some date in the future. In 2010, there was another lawsuit about this issue between HP and Oracle. They reached a settlement. Oracle supposedly was going to continue to support the products. However, not long after, they discontinued support. HP is claiming that they lost a lot of money because of this, and now, 4 years later, they're suing Oracle again. This other lawsuit is considerably more interesting. Several investment blogging sites have called into question Oracle's growth in cloud, and have openly wondered if perhaps they were booking other sales from other areas of their business as cloud. It's assumed to be a popular practice amongst all of the companies converting into a cloud platform like IBM and Microsoft. But investors seem to accuse Oracle of doing it more aggressively, perhaps. So with this information humming in the background, the news of this particular lawsuit emerges. A former Oracle employee, who is a mid-level manager in the finance space, alleges that she lost her job because she called into question their accounting practices with the cloud space. Of course, Oracle is denying that any such thing occurred, and that this woman was only employed at Oracle for less than a year, and she was terminated for performance reasons. That's not stopping investors from looking into the matter further. An investor group led by Grover M. Clarfeld is suing Oracle because he feels that the company is violating federal security laws and using improper accounting practices to inflate the company's cloud computing revenues by millions of dollars. So in summary, for months, bloggers and investment reporters have been questioning Oracle's claimed growth in the cloud space. Suddenly, a former employee of the company files a lawsuit stating she was terminated because she called into question their accounting practices in the cloud space, and almost immediately following the announcement of that lawsuit, Oracle investors are also suing the company because they feel that there's merit to these claims and that Oracle is inappropriately claiming revenues in the cloud space. I should also note, true to their nature, Oracle is suing the former employee.
You've been rough. You threatened to sue me and my parents for giving birth to me.
No, I would never do that.
That's exactly what you did. You played very rough sometimes.
And you know, I'm a huge fan of your mother.
And in more pleasant news, IBM announced this week that they are purchasing Israeli company EasySource, which helps developers modernize mainframe applications. The acquisition is expected to close in the second quarter of 2016, and financial terms were not disclosed. Salesforce, which has been taking up time on this podcast lately, also purchased the company. Salesforce purchased a company called Demandware, which offers a variety of enterprise services through the cloud. Salesforce purchased this company for $2.8 billion, and that brings up an interesting topic. In light of the news that Dell purchased EMC and has financed billions of dollars worth of debt, investors are starting to wonder if they're getting returns on the inflated prices that they're purchasing some of these companies for. Specifically with the Salesforce transaction, Seeking Alpha is ripping it apart. In one article, the author, David Trainer, lays it out like this. He says, "The only reason for a firm to pay a premium over the market value of another firm is if the acquiring firm believes there are significant synergies attainable through the acquisition. As this deal is constructed, Salesforce is paying a premium of $27.01 per share, or slightly over $1 billion over market prices. Salesforce has yet to make any mention of the dollar value synergies between the two companies." Going deeper into the article, Demandware has never been profitable, and they're actually losing money every year, which is probably common in Silicon Valley and in the IT space. There's a lot of companies that have proposed value but haven't quite made money yet. And now Salesforce is swooping in and paying $2.8 billion for it. And why is that? Cheap credit. Look at all the companies. Your EMCs, your IBMs, your Salesforce, your Oracles, your HPs. We're running into a situation where their debt is growing faster than their cash. In another Seeking Alpha article, it calls out the situation, and it's on the blog, quoting from the Seeking Alpha article. "Over the last year, cash balances rose 1.8%, while debt due in the next 5 years expanded to 17%, according to Bloomberg. This discrepancy can only go so far before it becomes a notable problem, if it hasn't already. To what I think is a more important issue," and I quote, "all of the new debt isn't getting put into productive use. Capital spending has hardly been a bright spot in recent quarters, including the relatively weak first quarter. A lot of this cash that's being borrowed is being pushed towards stock buybacks." So companies are borrowing money, which is generally fine in a normal economy, but we're seeing a situation where it is so cheap to borrow the money that they're doing all kinds of unnatural things with it, like stock buyback. And we're not seeing situations where companies are investing in R&D in their own companies and growing their own companies naturally. They're only doing it through acquisition. And then they're overpaying for said acquisitions, which fundamentally creates the situation that happened with Hewlett-Packard Enterprise and Autonomy. They had the money, they spent the money, and then there's buyer's remorse because they spent way too much money on the actual company. Actually, look at any of HP's deals. You bought Autonomy products for $11 billion, sold it for $170 million. Okay, I won't just pick on HP. Look at Microsoft. They went out and they bought Nokia, and now they're selling off all of the Nokia patents to Foxconn for a fraction of the cost. And you know what? I'm just going to come out and say it. Even though I find the deal absolutely fascinating, let's look at Dell and EMC. Do you really think it's healthy for a company to take on anywhere from $20 to $46 billion worth of debt to pick up a storage company? And to add to that, there's another lawsuit against Dell from when they went private that they shortchanged the investors on the stock price by like 25%. So yeah, there's a lot of cheap money floating around, and that's causing a lot of interesting transactions to happen in the IT space. But is it causing the right behavior? Or are we just causing an inflation scenario where the value of the dollar is being suppressed because we're overpaying for companies and products that aren't worth the asking price? Well, that could be a downer. And speaking of down, deep down, as in deep down in the oceans, that's exactly what Microsoft is doing with Facebook. And they're literally running new cable across the Atlantic to Europe. You're probably thinking, do people really still do that? Do we really still use cable across the Atlantic? But we do. That's how we connect with Europe. It's not all just satellites. This new cable line will be called Maria, and it will be the highest capacity subsea cable to ever cross the Atlantic. It'll have a capacity of 160 terabits per second. As part of this new solution, 6,600 kilometers of cable is going to be run and managed by a company called Telxius. T-E-L-X-I-U-S. Good luck with that one. The two cables will be connected from Virginia Beach, Virginia, to Spain. And then from there, a connection of hubs through Europe, Africa, and the Middle East. It's good to see that some money is being invested in infrastructure, especially non-sexy infrastructure like transatlantic cables. So let's switch over to some news that you can use. And let's talk about one of my favorite topics to talk about in news that you can use, open office spaces. Monster.com recently submitted an article that offers the opinion of what millennials think of open office spaces. And I'll save you the trouble of reading it. There's no definitive answer. Each person that they interviewed had their own take on it. But I'll share this quote. "Exposed offices also make it difficult to concentrate, especially with work that requires intense focus or speaking to others on the phone. This was the case for Laura Minos, who worked at Groupon after college. She said, I loved feeling part of a community, but as an inside sales rep, I hated having people listen to all of my conversations. She did say it was nice being able to pick up sales tips from listening to other people, but it does force you to act differently. You are either carefree or totally nervous. I'm going to keep saying it. I think the solution to this situation is creating phone booths or something slightly bigger than a phone booth. They're light, they're bright, they're open, but the sound doesn't leak out, and they don't take up a lot of space. You pack more people in, you get all the privacy, but you have some moniker of privacy. You know what? I think that's a good place to end it. Thank you so much for listening this week. We will be back with episode number 30 next week.
Yeah.
Take care.